you want to start?
Well, where did you go to school? Was it like?
We went to Banner Oak School, and there were at least four grades in each schoolroom.
You went to Banner Oak?
Yeah. Four grades in each schoolroom. And when it was your turn to go to class, there was a whole row of benches in the front, and the fifth grade would go up, and then the teacher, the same one teacher for all those children, and we would just take and go up there when it was our turn for our grade. And it was really something. And then we would bring our lunches. We had a cloakroom, and we'd put our lunch pails in there. And then we had a big pot-bellied stove in the back of the schoolroom, and we would bring potatoes, and we'd stick them in the bottom in the ash pit. That was great.
Well, yeah.
And then we'd bring some butter, you know, and salt, and oh, it was wonderful. Yeah. But I just hated it when kids would bring boiled eggs.
It tells about how smart you were, too, and you had to paint your name in the Toledo Blade.
Oh, well, that was when we went to St. Joseph.
Oh, was that St. Joseph?
I was promoted to the second grade, still 5 years old.
Pretty good.
And then after that, I went downhill. I went downhill afterwards. But anyway, that was, as far as schooling, I really think there were so few children in each grade that actually I wouldn't trade my eighth grade education for a lot of kids that go through high school.
Did
really
it start out from like first grade level to eighth grade?
There was the wooden school building next. They usually had two school buildings on the same piece of property.
Mm-hmm.
And the younger grades were taught, but there was no kindergarten. When I went to school, there was no such thing as kindergarten. You just went into the first grade when you were five, say. And then they would take each class in, and there was a teacher for each schoolroom, but that was all. And they'd have parent-teachers meetings just like you do. We had what we call social studies, and they called it geography. And there was only one, you didn't have like American history and all the other kind of histories.
Yeah.
You had just history books.
Yeah.
And your spelling books were, well, actually, we spell a lot better than our children do, because the spelling words were, I don't know, in syllables, like. And you learned, you'd see them, and you would learn more quickly by seeing the words.
Right.
And we really did well. Gloria and I, you know, we went to Monroe, and we were in, that was really big time for us then, because we were in the spelling bees.
When was this that you went to?
When they took Lambertville, and was the only high school in this area, the Lambertville school. And of course there wasn't any busing or anything, so you made the most of your eighth grade education, because unless you really had money, you didn't go to high school.
How did you get to school during grades every time? Did you?
In grade school, Papa had, oh, this is what Sandy got the biggest kick out of this morning. I think I have it marked on this paper here. How Papa, well, your mother, Grandma will remember this. Papa would bring us to school. We had an old international truck, and the cab of it was made of wood.
Mm-hmm.
And it was painted bus stop yellow, trimmed in red. And it had a sliding door on the cab.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, Pa's kids got to crawl inside the cab. But when the weather was nasty, they just couldn't wait, the kids that would walk down Crab Road, you know, ending, to get in the back of that truck so that they didn't have to walk when it was cold or nasty out. And other than that, by schooling, I really enjoyed it. It was really nice.
Well, where did you go to school?
Well, we went to school at St. Joseph's in Erie, but this bus that took us was like a bus that they must have rented from somebody. It was a big farm truck, and it had canvas on the sides and in the back. And Dad used to walk us up to the corner
Or take the horse and buggy and park it at Uncle DeRee's at the corner of Telegraph.
And we used to wait. We had to be there on time, otherwise they wouldn't wait for us. And we'd pile in as many as we could on this bus. And then it would take us up to Erie. But then after that, my brother Stan used to drive us, or Aunt Agnes,
in her Hupmobile. With the canvas flapping sides.
And we were jammed in so much that one time, my brother was driving us home this time, and we got pulled in the driveway here, and he says, "Where's Gloria?" We were so many in the car that we forgot Aunt Gloria's school, and he had to go back and get her.
Mom was pissed.
We had to go back. And sometimes we would put, instead of driving home, instead of waiting for the bus or that truck to pick us up, we walked home on the railroad tracks all the way. And my mother punished us, Uncle Stanley and Aunt Irene and I, and a whole bunch
that
of us.
That was before my time, because we followed
the railroad track all the way home.
Well, it's 4.5 miles.
From Erie to here. It's 4.5 miles. My mother was so upset because we told her we walked the railroad tracks all the way.
And in those days, it was really dangerous because the PM yards are right at the end of our road here. And Mama was always afraid because there would be, well, you'd call them vagrants.
No. Yeah.
But Mama called them bums.
Well, they were.
And they would ride, you know, on those boxcars and get out. And Mom was afraid for us.
They were like hobos.
Yeah. Yeah. So.
Were they on their way somewhere? I mean,
when they get in those boxcars, they traveled in that to get where they wanted to go.
They used to stop over here, but they come to feed them.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. They used to stop here. And
she wouldn't let them come in, but she fixed them a big meal.
But I will tell
out to them.
Yeah. But I will tell you one thing. I shouldn't say this, Don. She can leave this out. But I'll tell you, the nuns, Aunt Irene would get into it. Mama used to make me great conserved sandwiches, and if you wasted a crumb that big, you were boy hell bound. I am not kidding you. You wasted a crumb. So Aunt Irene, she goes up and says, "Now, sister so-and-so," whatever her name was, Irene could tell you if she was here, "my little sister gets sick every time," she says. "Now, she doesn't have to eat everything. You make her think everything is sinful, you know, if you don't do it." And, Irene, she would go around.
And we had to chew our food so many times before we could swallow it.
The
our
nuns
food.
Would make you do
make
that?
Make us do that.
It was a concentration camp. Here's this Catholic admitting it was a concentration camp.
But Aunt Irene would argue with them?
Oh, sure. She didn't take anything from anybody.
But I had Sister Aurelia for religion. I despised that nun. Oh, and she wasn't good looking either. I can remember her. And I didn't have a religion class right. That's what she called my brother Stan downstairs. And she says, "Now your sister Hilda here isn't doing good in this class." And I'm crying and the tears are rolling down. And she says, "And that's just crocodile tears," she says.
Well, see, in those days, how can I say that? They didn't have any actual feeling for you're going to whip this child down thinking, well, she or he's going to straighten up. But it just, all it did was punish us and make us feel bad. Mm-hmm. They didn't use good judgment when they would punish us in so many ways. You know? And we had to go to mass. Of course, maybe you kids did too. But before we go to school, we were tired before we ever got to school. And so as far as schooling, that's one thing. But our childhood at home.
What would you do in your free time then when you came home from school?
Work.
I'm sure y'all had chores to do.
Oh, yes. We picked berries. And Mama couldn't wait until school would end in May. We'd get out in May because strawberries were to be picked. And then we picked berries at Mr. Nag's and Jacora's up the road. They had rows and acres of berries.
Cherries.
And I can still remember the water that we would set in fruit jars, and they had those zinc caps And if tomatoes were canned in them or anything, the water would get hot in the sun under the bush. It tasted just as ugly as it could be, but we drank it anyway.
Yeah, I know.
And we would get a whole 3 cents a quart for picking.
Right. And I remember we used to come from Mr. Nag's. Well, Mrs. Nag's was
the one. She'd make us lemonade.
Oh, she'd bring out lemonade. And we were so thirsty. She, whoever was picking berries, the neighbor children. And we wanted to earn some money, and so, boy, we'd load those crates up as fast as we can. We'd put the 24 quarts in the crate, and...
There is no such a thing as a 24-quart crate, no.
No, and we were you know, young and tired, and we'd all walk home together, and we'd have that money, maybe $3.50 or something in the little pile
of
our hands.
Are you kidding? Sometimes you didn't make
that
much.
And we were so glad to come home tell Mother how much we made, but we worked all day for $2 or $3.
I used to work for Rosenberry's up the street. Stanley, when he worked at Gross Electric, would drop me off in the morning at 6 o'clock, because he had to be at Gross's at 7. He dropped me off at 6 over here, and I worked for 75 cents a day. And the Mr. Rosenberry, earned $25 a week because he was a tool and die maker. Mm-hmm. And I thought, why couldn't he leave me that extra quarter to make me a dollar a day? That included washing on your hands and knees the floor, waxing it with that Johnson's paste wax, and then rubbing it out and polishing it to a shine. Washing and ironing and dishes and dusting and running the sweeper. And they had a side porch, and the PM yards were there, and the train smoke used to get inside that. And I would wash the outer walls of that porch.
Oh, that was a big house, I remember.
And then he'd pick me up at 6 o'clock at night.
Bring you home. The next day it was the same thing over again.
No. I only worked that once a week.
Oh, okay.
I'd have been croaked about it.
What about you? I worked for
the McIntyres in Monroe, William McIntyre. And
how old were you when you started there?
Well, I must have been about 15 years old.
What did you have to do?
And I did housework and took care of the kids because they went a lot. And then after I left that job, well, as a matter of fact, that's where I met Pippi, was at McIntyre's. And then after I left that job, I worked for Cochran's on Collingwood Avenue. And Irene worked for the grocer's next door. And that was a nice job, too. He was a criminal lawyer, Mr. Cochran. And it was a nice job. Another girl, she was mulatto, worked with me. But we did cooking, and they had a lot of entertaining to do.
What was her name again?
Willetta McGowan was her name.
Oh, yeah. She was really pretty.
She was from Toledo. And we worked together, and we had our own, we stayed there. We had Thursday afternoon off and Sunday afternoon off. And we baked everything and cooked all.
And I can remember.
Yeah.
We had all we needed here. Mama used to can all the vegetables and cherries and pears and fruit, you know, applesauce, everything. She would make all kinds of things, but we didn't have little dainty fancy things like crackers. You didn't, you know about those kind of things. But these kids here, Irene and your mama and Grandma and Irene would go to the store, and they would buy $15 worth of groceries. So that was between, they probably didn't make $15
out of our own money. We did.
You probably made about $15 a week, didn't you?
Oh, no,
12. Well, between them, they would buy $15 worth of groceries, and it would cover this big long kitchen table.
We were so happy to do that.
You know, because things were so inexpensive in that way, and we were just delighted to see them come in.
And we still would go to Toledo on the streetcar on a Thursday afternoon if we had time, and we would go to the Lions store and to Lampson's, I guess, and we'd buy things for our hope chest, like we'd buy dishes that I still have. We bought linens and we would
out of that meager
out of our table, out of our own little paychecks, you know. Well, we got paid in cash, never a check.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
And we stayed, but we had a cedar chest full of stuff by the time we got married.
When did you start your hope chest, really?
Well, probably when she started earning money.
About 15, 16.
Mm-hmm. We always, you know, put things away, and things were reasonable, but still, a dollar would buy a whole bushel basket full of groceries, at a time like that.
Sure.
You said that one girl that you worked with was mulatto.
Mm-hmm.
Were there many blacks around this area at the time? Do you remember?
In Toledo, there were parts of town just like there are now.
Mm-hmm.
That yes, I would say there were. Yeah. And when we'd go on the market, the Jewish people usually ran the trains, the stores and the groceries and everything that were downtown, and they called them hucksters. They would go in the Toledo market and they would come to see what the farmers would bring in, and they, you know, would barter with you. They would ask you how much a bag of corn, you know, sweet corn, and then they'd go from one to the other. And so if one would sell the whole bag with 12 dozen in for a dollar a bag, with 12 dozen corns in, and then somebody else would sell it for 75 cents a bag, well, naturally, they would go and get it from the 75. My father used to help him pick the apples, and it was nothing to sell two bushels of apples, beautiful heaping bushels of apples for 50 cents,
wow,
just to get rid of them,
mm-hmm,
see? And eggs were what? Sometimes 8 to 18 cents a dozen, see, that you'd get.
I can remember my dad going to buy groceries. Well, Mom and Dad would go early in the morning, and it would take them.
Well, the closest grocery store was A&P store down on Water Street,
and we would,
in our Tinkies.
We would wait and wait and wait. We'd look out the window, and boy, every time we'd see a car coming, we'd say, oh, here comes Mom and Dad. It wasn't them. And pretty soon, they'd come, and it was dark out.
Oh, it was an all-day job.
And they'd buy us a little nickel bag of candy, and that lasted us the whole week. 5 cents for a bag of candy. But, and then my dad used to go to get day-old bread, didn't he, and roll?
Yeah, the Lutz bread.
He'd come home with great big bags, and it was as fresh as a lot of the bakery goods that you get now.
He'd pay a quarter or 50 cents for a whole big bag of chocolate donuts, all kinds of things. Nowadays, I was telling Sandy that this morning, I'm not knocking the way it is now, but no way could children ever be as contented or happy as we were.
Yeah.
There was no worry about somebody had the latest style that. You were very happy to wear a hand-me-down or a made-over garment.
Or a uniform.
Or anything. You know, there wasn't anything like that. Nobody was jealous of one another, or nobody thought they were better than one another, or we weren't in cliques of, you know, that's the way it was.
Right.
And then, two, not having television, not having a chance to go to places, either malls or things like that, stores like that, we had more time. We would play croquet in the front yard, or we'd play ball, and we would look forward to leisure time that we'd have mostly on a Sunday afternoon.
Yeah.
See?
Or a lot of times Mama would let us...
Or of the evening.
Or we'd make homemade ice cream. That was our entertainment. Or crack walnuts, go to the neighbors,
and play cards.
Oh, we'd play cards.
And there was a more communication among. Now, see, these are some of the things I must have written. I must have been cracked at the button when I wrote these. But then Sandy says she was happy. Now, these are things that I must have done maybe 15 years ago. I don't know. I don't remember. But anyway, I thought they had given me a book. I'll tell about some of the childhood memories I had. And if I don't give myself one sentence of something, they run into one another, as you see, but there's nothing that, that makes a paragraph on anything. But something, so I would think, and I had written this, and I found it. Okay, now, it says childhood memories. The smell of new-mown hay in the stables where we gathered eggs up in the barn loft. Remember how we used to have to climb a straight up and down board to go up into the loft to get the eggs? And that was great going up. These boards were nailed right on the wall. And I was okay going up. But once I got to the top and I looked down, I'd say, Ma, I can't come down. Turn around and put your feet on that board. I've got hay under you. I'll catch you. And I had to carry eggs. See, we didn't wear pants or shorts or anything. So I would put them in my dress and hold the eggs like that. And I had only one hand, and the eggs are all in here. Because the darn chickens would fly up there and lay their eggs, and we needed those eggs. So I'd go up there and get those. So anyway, there's another thing here that says, I can remember saying prayers by an open window at night, with the moon shining on the fresh-cut lawn and the trees casting shadows. And then I remember the times when Mama would skim all these crocks of milk out of the pantry, and then we'd put them in a great big butter churn. And oh, did I hate that day when it came to churning butter. You would take and push and pull and pull and push till that butter fat separated from the milk, you know? And I can remember doing that, and I can remember going to market with Dad, and the smell of homemade buns baking in the oven. My mama, the boys still talk about that, how we made those, you know. And then picking berries and enjoying Mrs. Nag's homemade lemonade. See, I hadn't even remembered that. And playing fox and geese in the snow. It was like a great big pie in the crisp snow, and the cold, it was so cold.
Years ago, it was.
Winters were so cold, and I think why that was, we more or less stayed cold because the furnace didn't have any blowers on it, and unless you sat directly on those heaters, we used to have ice on our, and there was no such thing as snow pants. You went out with stockings.
Yeah, or long underwear.
I don't remember having long underwear, but Mama had those wild stockings, you know, that we used to wear there. And your cheeks would get red as a beet. And then it was so nice to be tired and come in and fall asleep knowing your Ma and Pa were asleep in the next room. It made you feel safe and contented. Our home life, regardless, we didn't have a lot of money, but we were secure and we were loved. I may have had my little, you know, I had to cry a little bit this morning. I told Sandy, I says, you know, now that I'm older and I think of it, Mama was harder on me. I was in between Gloria and Miranda. Miranda was the baby and Gloria was sickly. I was healthy and strong and chubby. And it seemed like Ma gave me all the dirty work and everything, and she was harder on me, even as an adult. Mm-hmm. She was harder on me than she was the other. But I honestly believe with no conceit, Mama loved me as well, if not the best, of all my sisters. Because Mama, you know how, I mean, in her own way, I realize that now. I think Mama thought as much of me, I think that's why she sometimes punished me so much. Because she did. She was really hard on me.
And I knew you could handle it.
Evidently.
Yeah.
So, and then, see, this here shows you too. The long walks to school and Pa coming after us in his old yellow International red and yellow truck with the sliding doors and all the kids piling in the back of the truck. And then picking apples in the orchard for the market. And then Ma would make us fresh apple pie that made your mouth water. Mama could make pies. Oh, she made the most wonderful crust. And then we'd have homemade ice cream, like your grandma was telling you, and it was a treat only on the 4th of July. Papa would go and buy a big block of ice, then they'd put it in a burlap bag and wang it up with a hammer, and then drop it in the freezer, and then sometimes you wondered if it was worth it. Yeah. You'd wind that crank.
Yeah. Everybody took a turn.
Yeah. And that was made with, Mom used to make
strawberry.
A custard type. Well, you would call it like a vanilla pudding first, and then she would put
strawberry.
Real cream skimmed off of a crock. Oh, God, we should have been fat, and we were.
I know, and a lot of strawberries
in
there.
And then this is what I remember the most. Now, your mother should, Grandma should remember this, but actually going out to work. See, I never went away from home until I was older and worked out. But we had this big 40-acre farm where nothing was done with combines or anything like that. The wheat had to be cut with a, what would you say, mowing machine. Mowing machine,
yeah.
And then it was bound into bundles and stacked up like you see corn stacked, you know, at Halloween time like that, okay?
Yeah.
Well, then there would be a threshing machine that would come down the road and it looked very similar to a black puffer belly train.
Yeah.
And I would be
like a steam engine,
terrified with that. When Mr. Thorne's old threshing machine would come down the road, we'd watch that, and then all that straw was blown. The wagons and the horses would bring the straw, the wheat in the bundle up to the threshing machine, thrown in, and then it would thresh the grain out, and the men would bag it on one end, and the straw would come through and blow into a huge haystack. See? And then Maud warned us, don't you play in that soft straw. And Miranda and Hillinger Gora played in it once, and poor little Miranda sunk to the bottom, and Helen went home, and there was no Miranda. It was getting dusk, and she wasn't coming home. You don't remember that, do you?
Mm-hmm.
And so she snuck in the front door, and I said, Mandy, is that you? Yeah. She was real hoarse. She could hardly talk. Helen got so frightened, she had gone home, and we called over to Jacora's, and he said, no, Miranda's home. So when Helen heard that, she went pawing through the straw stack, found a hand on Miranda, and dug her out. And if she hadn't been there to dig her out and be frightened, because we called and wanted to know why she didn't come home, it was dark, getting dark, she would have died in the stack. And so for, about a week, you know, we should have brought her to the hospital. Well, I was so little, I was only 3 years older than her. And she must have had straw in her lungs.
Oh, yeah.
She talked hoarse for a while, and she looked terrible. You know, years ago, you didn't go to the doctor's unless you were dying, you know. And I can remember that was just terrible. And then the old... they'd have maybe 20 men that worked the wagons and the horses. Well, you had to feed them. So we had a big tub of water, two big galvanized tubs of water, and there was a big pear tree out here, and we put a nail in the tree with a mirror, and they'd get in there and they'd, ivory soap floated, so we had, there was ivory soap. And combs. Oh God, they all used to say
combs.
Yuck. And so they would take and they'd put their hands in that go, and they'd wash. And then we had these towels that were on a
line like
a roller.
Yeah.
You know, you pull them down and like that. Well, we had those kind of towels. And they'd dry on those towels. And then they'd come in to eat. Well, we had an old one that would come, Mr. Mose LaPlante. And Mama would warn us, now don't you kids dare to giggle or laugh, because she says, he'd pour his coffee in a saucer and he'd go, and he'd slurp all that. God, that's hysterical, you know. Well, the payoff was one day, Mama had a fresh jar of blackberry jelly. She dumped it, you know, in the mold, right in the ditch. Well, it happened to be sitting on the table in front of him. all that thing to him.
We ate the whole.
Ate the whole jar of blackberry jelly. Miss Travis, he says, that's the best jello I ever ate.
Yeah.
Well, with that, we were hysteric. There was no control. So, anyway, look at him. It says, the stern warnings from Mama to me and my sisters not to laugh when Moe slurped his coffee from a saucer. And when he ate the whole glass of jelly, Mom fed me. And dumped into a fancy dish. He thought he was eating jello, and you know, he told her it was the best he had ever eaten.
And then we had all these stacks of dishes to do.
Oh Lord.
Like stacks and stacks.
And they had to eat. They had mashed potatoes, they had chicken and dumplings and slaw and green beans. And see, by the time years ago, the gardens were made in early March, and by the time the threshing machines were out in the field, we had garden vegetables, and they'd say, oh good, we're eating at Travick's today, we'll eat good. And Ma'd make homemade bread. How in the world did Mama do?
I don't know.
Oh, I care.
I don't know.
And they were grubby, man.
Yeah.
Oh,
awful. As a matter of fact, there were so many of us. You know, and then back them up so that the hay would go. But I would get on the wagon, and I would pick up these heavy bales of hay. I don't know, it's straw.
I
don't know how I did it.
I don't know.
And I lifted them way up in the hay mow.
I
had the strength of...
I know. We worked... Oh, kids would think they were killed now. Oh, and then I remember... It was such a treat. We didn't have the money, Mom and Papa, to ever bring us to a movie.
No.
First movie I ever went to, I was probably in the sixth or seventh grade, and it was Coraline Sass over here that lived on Stearns Road. She was an only child.
Yeah.
And my first movie was a Shirley Temple movie, and I loved it. And then there was Tugboat Annie with Wallace Beery and Marie Dressler. They just don't make movies like that anymore, you know? And then, while we would shell countless bushels of lima beans for market.
We do that in the evening.
Well, we did it during the day, during my day.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then we'd go to market way into the evening.
Mother would get like 60
and we
cents
would,
a quart, wouldn't she? And that was a lot of money then. 60 or 80 cents? No?
50.
50?
The highest.
Really?
That was the most expensive crop we could have.
Yeah.
50 cents a quart.
Yeah.
And we would listen to the radio while we did that. And there was Pepper Young's Family, do you remember that? And Ma Perkins. And to help pass the time while you shelled bushels of lima beans and for the market. And the radio stars looked like you wanted them to. See, you had to use your imagination.
Yeah.
And so it was kind of nice in a way.
Yeah.
You know, you picture them the way you wanted them.
Right, so
to
you
look.
Grew up with the radio then for big entertainment?
Most of the time, if the battery didn't go down on it.
Yeah.
See, we didn't have electricity until after Aunt Isabel got married.
Really?
Uncle Stanley installed electricity here.
Mm-hmm. After he worked for Gross Electric.
We had
honey, we couldn't have had it if we had the money.
No.
There was no...
No poles.
No poles, no electric lines going
what
by.
What kind of lighting did you have in the house?
We had
Aladdin lamps.
Aladdin.
Which I dare say made a beautiful white light.
Really
they were
nice.
Gorgeous, and you put them to the ceiling, and it was almost... They were in the center of your room. They had a mantle and a chimney, and you daresn't to touch them.
No.
You know, some of those Coleman lanterns like have those mantle type
you
things.
Touch them, they turn to ashes.
They would, you know, just disintegrate your fingers. So you had to be real careful when you wash the chimneys. And then those all had to be filled with top grade kerosene.
Right.
Weren't they kerosene?
You're right.
Yeah, kerosene. And and then we would carry a little hand lamp to bed with us.
Or to the outhouse.
Oh, Lord, have mercy.
We took a lantern to the outhouse, didn't we?
Well, listen, this can be talked about. For heaven's sakes, don't write this in your essay.
I went,
no, your mom get a kick out of listening to this. My cousin Angelica was really Travick, you know, that's down the road here. Well, she was really a classy lady. And there was a two-holer
outside privy, you know, there. And in the center, she had a card, a wooden box. And she would take and cut newspaper into squares exactly the size of that box, or take the catalogs, they were lighter paper, and that was your toilet tissue. And nobody had any infections or germs.
No.
Everybody was the same, so we didn't feel we were, so the flies and the spiders sat on it, who got infection? Not us.
Right.
We would take those pieces of paper and shovel them up. Now, we would be frightened. We'd have every kind of germ there was.
We even wallpapered the outhouse. All different.
And we would take a broom and a bucket of soap and we'd scrub those seats till they were yellow and pop it, throw lime down the holes. And
yeah.
Now we'd die if we thought we had to do that. You know?